when they left the dead man, it happened to be left on the tomb of Elisha the prophet. Guess what? The dead person woke up. The dead person woke up after he'd been put on the tomb of a dead man. And that dead man was Elisha. Elisha had so much of God's anointing over him that even in his death, he could raise the dead. Hallelujah. Why should we stay here until we die? And during the time of this man, Elisha, at that time, the kingdom of Israel had been separated. And 10 tribes were in the north, and they had their capital city called Samaria. And the 2 tribes in the bottom had their capital city, Jerusalem. But this story is happening in Samaria, the northern part of Israel. And at that time, the Israelites, or the king of Israel and his people, were being tormented, harassed, hounded, and shamed by another kingdom called Aram, that is present-day Syria. The Aramean kings made the life of the people of Samaria, being the Israelites, very miserable. And during the time, the Arameans surrendered Samaria, and they actually had a siege around it. They would not give them a chance to get out. Nobody could get out or go in. And the Bible tells that it was for a long, long time. So it came to a point that they had nothing to eat. They were all waiting to die. Why should we stay here until we die? I'm just giving you a background to this story I'm going to tell you today. And one day the king was walking on his palace, on the palace wall. If you've been to the Tower of London, you can see that you can actually walk on it. Or if you've been to any of the castles, you can walk on it. Imagine that type of walls. He was walking on his walls, and he heard somebody, a lady calling him, "Help me, king. Help me, my lord." And he said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "You know something? There's no food in the country, you know, in the town, you know. We are all dying. We've come to a stage that my neighbor and I agreed that we will eat my child one day. And after that, when we are hungry again, then we eat my neighbor's child. We have eaten our child." Imagine a parent eating their child. That was the sense of desperation. "We have eaten our child, my child. But it has come to the turn of my neighbor for us to eat her child, and we can't find her child. She's hiding him. So, king, please help me." And the king turned around and said, "If God will not help you, how do you expect me to help you?" He said everything that was negative. And the king of Aram increased the siege. The hunger was getting desperate, and the people were getting to a point of literally dying one after the other. And any move that the king of Aram will make to actually finally take over the city of Samaria, God will reveal it to that prophet Elisha. He didn't live in Samaria. He lived elsewhere. If Samaria is London, he probably lived in any little village somewhere around London, maybe Dartford or something. So, any move that this king of Aram make, God will reveal it to Elisha. And Elisha will go and tell the king of Israel, that this, don't go to that place because that man is laying siege for you. So he will not go. So it got to a time that the king called his counselors around and said, "Which of you is on the side of the king of Israel, that any move that I make, he gets to know beforehand?" And all of them said, none of us, not me, not her, not me. I said, which one? I want to know, otherwise your heads will be gone. Probably I'm only adding this bit. But he was that desperate. And one said, you know what, none of us is telling them, but there is a man of God, God's spokesperson somewhere, who knows everything that you do. Even in your bedroom, he knows. And he reveals it to the king of Israel. So today, if I'm praying for our children to be prophetic, I want them to have insight. Are you listening to me, young ones? I want you to have insight that any plan that is arrayed against you, you will see it before it happens. I want you to have insight that any works of evil that will come before you, you will see it before it happens so that you avoid it. I want you to have a prophetic voice in your home so that you can warn your parents of what is going on, so you can warn your friends from trouble. I want you to have that prophetic voice that you can tell what God wants his people to know, even in this church. Do you think that prospect is interesting? Children, I want you to answer me. Do you think that is interesting? Amen. I know a big child over there. God wants you to have a prophetic voice. Elijah had a prophetic voice in the king in Samaria. Then the king said, I'm going to kill you. That's the king of Israel. I said, I'm going to kill Elisha. Is that Elisha? It's your fault that there is a siege. How can that be? Israel was being attacked by Aram. And the king wanted to kill the person who's giving him a voice. That is interesting, isn't it? And before the king came, the king sent someone in front of him, his killer, his axeman, his head cutter, to go and execute Elisha. And before he was coming, Elisha was meeting the elders of his town. And he said, you know what, I see a man coming to execute me, but his master is closely behind him to come and actually see and celebrate. And behold, within a few minutes, somebody knocked at the door. Who is it? It's me, the king's axeman. And Elisha says, shut that door. And they did not open that door. He was God's spokesperson. What is exciting about this story is that now when he opened the door, he literally told the king, I want you to hear this, that a time will come, and a day, let me read it precisely from scripture so that you know that what I am saying is true. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 33, 2 to chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him, and the king said, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The other officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the flood gates of heaven, could this happen? You will see it, Elisha said, with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. Amen. You see, this story is just to give you the perspective and the background to this. The people of Samaria, Israel, were in trouble. Their backs was to the wall. They were dying. And their enemy was the king of Aram. To the extent that people were doing things which you would not think they would do, eating each other's children. And the king turned around and blamed the man of God who was helping them. He wanted to kill him. But he said, by tomorrow this time, I don't know, I didn't check out in more than equivalent of the money, but by tomorrow this time, when you go to Tesco's and do your shopping, Everything that you buy, you're only going to pay £1. That is quite a, everybody's excited. I mean, so for argument's sake, everything by tomorrow that you buy in your favorite shop, you're going to pay £1. What an amazing testimony this will be. But the king's right hand man said, "Over your dead body, Elisha, this ain't going to happen. I can't see it." And the king said, "It's your fault that is happening, but it's never the Elisha's fault." So, now let's pick our reading. You can project chapter 7, verse 3 for me. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we will go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let us go to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." What a desperate situation. Four lepers. Not long ago, I was talking about 10 lepers in the New Testament. This time, four lepers in the Old Testament. You see, leprosy is a type of sin, and therefore it's a disease incurable like present-day cancer. Leprosy was a type of disease, and probably still some type of disease in certain areas, that they have no cure, that when it hits you, that is your way out of society. You've got to be separated from society. Thank you very much, Gerard, and I pray that you'll be here today, so you are my Spanish interpreter for the day. You are welcome. So what we are talking about is these people with hands crooked, legs cut, sometimes their lips and everything, nobody wanted them in society, so they were put outside the gate. Imagine everybody in the city where a little bit of food, a little is there. What's the other shops? Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda, all the shops were there. And they were rationing food. And they put these guys outside. They had nothing to do. No food. They said, "Shall we go to the city?" When they go to the city, they will die anyway. But then the death that they will die with so much emotional distress and trauma, because they'll be rejected. They'll be frowned upon. People will spit on them. Nobody wants them. So they will live in isolation and still die. Why go there? Why should we stay here and die? So why should we stay there? So from here, why should they go to the city and die anyway with all this pain before they die? If they stay where they are, they're going to die. And they could see themselves literally dying. Because sometimes when you are dying, you are aware of it. And when they go to the camp of the Arameans, they'll be cut down, possibly. Or they will spare them, possibly. But these four lepers, I would say they were strangers to failure. Hallelujah. They were strangers to failure. Adversity was tearing the lepers. And indeed, the whole nation of Israel, the king and his people had given up. They have thrown in the towel, looking forward to die of starvation. But not those four lepers. They were strangers to failure. They were telling themselves that we are not going to stand here and die. And today I want to encourage you, do not sit where you are. Do not stand there and die. You've got to be stranger to failure. Hallelujah. The very existence of the four lepers were threatened. Why stay here until we die? They faced adversity and challenges of life with courage. That is what they did. They faced it with courage. Now they said, "Let's go to the camp of the Arameans." What a courageous thing to do. You go to the city, you are rejected, you are in on the desert at the gate, and you're going to die. And the only option they chose is to go to the camp of the Aramaeans where the soldiers were, who were ready to come and kill all the Israelites. They said, now we are going to go to them. What a courage. God is looking for men and women who, in the midst of adversity, will have the courage to walk and face the issues looking at them and said, I am a stranger to failure. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, when people are facing adversity, they tear themselves apart, just like the king. Am I God to help you out? Let's eat our children. I eat yours. When we have nothing left, you eat mine. Or vice versa. They go for easy solutions. However difficult it is easy for them. I cannot imagine myself eating my children. But then this is not Old Testament story, you know. In the World War II, when the German army pushed the people of St. Petersburg to the wall, there was severe winter, there was no food, and people were eating their family. I watched this story on the television here in the United Kingdom not too long ago. I like history. They ate their own. So this is not a remote story, but I don't want you to eat your children. Thank you, Jesus. The lepers will not focus on their condition and accept what might be the inevitable as the only solution for their lives. They had courage and faith to take hold and bold decisions, and they acted upon it. And as they took those steps, the Lord stepped in with his power and might. Shall we turn to chapter 7, verse 5 to 7 of the book? Go back to verse 5 of 2 Kings, chapter 7. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans, that's the four lepers. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord has caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The four lepers took steps together. They had each other for company. They had each other for discussions. They had each other for prayers. They had each other to say, let's stand on the word of God that the prophet, the man of God, has said. Let us go together, united as one body, walking, until they got to the camp. I don't know what was going through their minds. God, I'm sure they were thinking, we go in any way. They were expecting to be spared. That's the first thing that they said. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die. So they were expecting to live. Did you get that? So they were bold and courageous and walked, and they were expecting to live. They were expecting to overcome their adversity. Some of you, your very destinies and well-being are threatened. Failure in some cases, or some may feel like throwing in the towel, or death is staring at you. But why stay where you are until you die? Why stay where you are until you die? Look at where you are right now. What is it like? What's your marriage like? Some of you may be looking for life partners. You haven't got one. Some may have one. Praise God if you've got one. If you haven't, and you are desperate for one, why just stay there and die? Is there something that you can do? Maybe it's job situation. You want a bigger job, a better job. You want your business to prosper? You want to succeed in education and pass all your GCSE, A-levels, university, get upper class, first class, second upper, whatever upper you want. Maybe you want your children to have the best in this world. Maybe where you are right now, your spirituality, that means you are not connecting with God anymore. And for you, you are going through the motions. You may not be pretending, but you know that the veil that you've put on your face, the anointing, the presence of God is not shining anymore. Once upon a time, like Moses, the veil was there and was shining powerfully. But it got to a point that the veil, the anointing was not shining anymore on his face. Your spirituality has gone down. Your closeness to God, there's nothing to write home about. The outworkings of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in your life are missing. Are you where you are or you need to be? Have you accepted your current reality as your destiny? Now, let me tell you another story, real story, not too far in the Old Testament. This summer, that was about me. I was so exhausted this summer, emotionally and physically. Emotionally, because we have three deaths that affected us directly as a church and as individuals. And each one hits me like a bombshell, because it made me remember my mothers in this church that have died, my fathers in this church that have died, remember of my own, siblings and my own blood. It was just too much. I was in a mess. I was drawing each day strength from the Lord. And we saw, what a wonderful funeral service. But I'm thinking, God, I don't feel that wonderful. I'm exhausted. Emotionally, I am drained. And I knew I had to take a holiday in September. Do you know what? I've never done this before. 2 months before, I had packed all my suitcases. 2 months before. That's how desperate that I want to get out of church, get out of people. I don't want to see you no more, that I don't like you. I was in that place. And I managed to have some time. And I told you this story to come to a point. And when I came back, I was just reflecting. I said, God, why am I to stay here and die? Is there anything at all that I can do? Why stay here until you die? So I came to that conclusion that this is not going to be my destiny. Hallelujah. I prayed to God and I could hear him saying, Gideon, you have scriptures to guide you as to what you have to do. You have your word here, that you have your word in your mouth to speak. You have everything and resources at your disposal to turn this around by my power, if you will believe it. So change your perspective. These words were ringing in my ears so clear. So change your perspective. These words sank immediately to me. Without hesitation, I knew that was what God was telling me. And I've told this other one that I'm just going to say many times to many people, that the first time I came to church, church was being led well. Everything was going. The music did not move me. The sound was bad at the back. I don't blame you guys. That's what we got. I sat here, the preach was good. But I asked myself, God, you know what? If I'm looking for a church today and I've come here, will I want to come back again? I wasn't sure. And I asked myself, why did I feel that way? And I tell you, when I went on holidays, I did not go and backslide. I went to lead a conference, I went to preach, and I went to do other things, and I rested too. But then as I look at myself and I examine myself, I realize that prayer was missing in our church services. And the power of God is missing in our church services. So if you see fire in my bones today, it has everything to do where we are. And one thing I hear God tell him that there are a lot of people sick and they need healing. You see, it's no good me going to huddle around and say, "Oh, Jenny, I'm so sorry about where you are. You told me all your wonderful stories and all the pain that you're going through and all the bad side of life. I'm so sorry, and I pray a little prayer and go away." That wouldn't do you no good. We need to see the power of God. I am not teaching you anything. This is the Bible story I'm telling you. Are you hearing me? These things are scripture. Believed by all kinds of believers. Pentecostal, charismatic, Orthodox, Presbyterian, whatever they are, Baptist. These are scripture if we believe the Bible. My brothers and sisters, where you are right now is not your destination. There is more an abundant provision to tap into. The four lepers had each other to lean on for encouragement and action. They hung on the ancient word of God. They believed in the unchanging God. My brothers and sisters, like the four lepers, let us be strangers to failure. The word of God had to be spoken, and that must come true. The four lepers believed their reality could be changed, so they walked to the camp of the Arameans. But why? Because the word of God had been spoken, as we see and recorded in 2 Kings 7, verse 1. I've read earlier, but I just want to repeat it. Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for one shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The faith of the four lepers moved them into action to do the unexpected, the impossible. They walk into the camp of the Arameans, and God backed them up. Amen. So today, I like the Arameans, I like the four lepers, and you like the four lepers. Let us walk into the camp of the unknown, the camp of anything that is standing our way, for God will back us up with his power. Hallelujah. Let us not be afraid. I've never heard anybody killed by the Holy Spirit, apart from two people in the Bible. Acts chapter 5. Go and read it for yourself. I want you to read. Only two people killed by the Holy Spirit. And that's in the New Testament, not even the Old Testament, right? So, to have the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. To have God back you up in power is the promise of the Father. It's what our destiny is. I am not preaching a new message. I'm preaching what it was before, because Peter the apostle, when his back was to the wall, the Holy Spirit came upon him, overshadowed him, empowered him, and the person who could not even understand the Bible, who was unschooled, began to speak the word of God with power and authority. Are we serving the same God? If we are serving the same God, let's press on. God brought salvation. And as these lepers started walking and going, you know what? Each stamp, God brought a ripple, a sound of thunder, a sound of mighty army. And the people knew the Egyptians did not have, the Israelites did not have an army. They knew that they didn't have horses. They didn't know how to ride horses. That's absolutely true. They didn't even know how to make instruments of war. They always had to go and buy them. So where did they get these horses and chariots and the noise that they could hear? So the Arameans started running and left everything, the food and everything that they looted on the way. They left it, the money, the gold, the clothes, everything. Because, sometimes when soldiers do bad things. If you've been into some third world countries, when there's an overthrow of government, that's what people do. They loot things. And they camped, and they knew that they were going to be there for a long time, so they brought so much food. And they heard this noise. You see, as the lepers walked, the four lepers walked in unison and they went, God backed them up with his supernatural power, and the people heard noises, they heard a sound of many chariots, and they ran for their lives. And today I want to assure you that if you believe God's word and you want to walk with it, God will back you up. Amen. God will back you up with his power. Amen. God will back you up with his spirit. Amen. And he'll move all the Arameans out of your life, and he's going to do something good for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The faith of the four lepers moved them into action to do the unexpected, the impossible. God brought salvation and deliverance to the four lepers so they could go and tell others. Are you hearing that? So they could go and tell others. They needed to see God's power and mercies and compassion so that they could give an open testimony about it. Others need to hear so that they could bring them to church, the place of miracle. God has done something for you, hasn't he? You see, because God did that miracle for them, they went to tell them, come. We went to the camp, there was nobody, because what if you read the scripture, the Bible said the men actually who had leprosy, they went, and when they took some of the food, they ate, they drank, then they even hit some of the goat somewhere. Then they told themselves, what are we doing here doing this? We can't eat everything. Let's go and tell others about the good news. So the reason why we want people's life to turn around in this church so they can see the power of God, so they can experience it, so they can tell others about how good, amen, how merciful, amen, how gracious, amen, how compassionate, how loving, how powerful our God is. We want them to do that. Because if you come and sit here like I sat and go home and nothing changes, tomorrow you don't want to be here. You have other things to do with your life. You could sleep. You could watch programs. You could give an excuse. The reason why you can't come to church, who cares? After all, you don't get paid. So you can stay at home, right? If you get paid, you will come. But if there's fire in your bones, my brothers and sisters, you get up and you don't want to sleep. You want to go where God's provision is. You want to go where God's miracles is. You want to go where God has changed life and turned situations in homes, turned situations in children's lives, turned situations in your marriage, turned situations in your job, turned situations in your sickness and in your body, turned situations in your own spirituality that is going down. When God turns this around, you want to tell others, wouldn't you? And you want to come to church. I'm doing with time nearly there. Make sure that you point time to me. Verse 10 and 11, if you have it with you. So the king went and called out. So they went, the lepers went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only feathered horses and donkeys and tents left just as they were. The gatekeepers shouted the news and was reported within the palace. God will bring salvation to you so you will tell others to come and see. Amen. This is what in modern language or John Wimber call it power evangelism. You see, if you see the power of God and experience the power of God, you go and tell somebody to come and see. Why were people following Jesus Christ? He even once challenged them, is it the food that you ate? Why did people go to John the Baptist? Because you saw a man eating, weirdos, wearing weirdo clothes and eating weirdo food? They saw something. They saw the power of God through John the Baptist. They saw the power of God through Jesus. So they're always following him, knowing that they will experience the power of God. They followed the apostles because they knew that when they go to them, there will be miracles in their life. Their lives will be changed. So they followed them. They became church because they knew church was good for people. Young ones, church is good. You see, I'm in my 50s, and I was once young like you. I didn't grow up like this, you know. I was once your age. And I took God. By the age of 8 years old, I was in Church of England. And I was serving faithfully. I never missed a service. To the point that even the church keeper, those days we used to ring bells to call people to come to church. These days, when you ring it, they say pollution. Look at that. So we used to do that in Church of England. I was so dedicated to the point that the church keeper stopped waking up at 5 a.m. to come to the church because every day we have to have a mass. It was a high church. And I was the one who rang the bell for him. And sometimes he told me, Gideon, you know, I slept in my house, and when I heard the bell, I said, that's Gideon, all right. And I was 8 years old. And I kept serving God. And by the age of 14, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. From that time, my life turned around. By the age of 15, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed me. I cried and I wept. I subsequently spoke in tongues. I laid my hands on the sick and they were healed. And I kept faith with God and I passed all my exams. I didn't fail one. I had a university degree, I had a professional qualification, and I have more. And I've had a good job. Bless you. And I've been in good positions. God has blessed me. You see, this is the deception that I want you to understand. That God is great. I want you all kids to be better than me. You hear that? I want you to be better than me. Brighter than me. Smarter than me. Get better positions and more money. Enjoy yourself better than I did. But you can only have one wife or one woman, right? Or one husband. I was going to say have as many women as you want, but that's not scripture. So please, New Testament for us. So what I want you to understand is that don't let nobody deceive you. But not all. Or come to this place. So when I say that this is power evangelism, Apostle Paul will put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. My faith all these years has rested not on human wisdom, but on God's power. And I want your faith to rest on God's power. Because sometimes human beings can tell you all that they know, but they are limited. God is limitless. And as you listen to the four leper story, but not all will hear your message or testimony. The king of Israel just put a damp cloth on what the four lepers said to him and what the many Samaritans were saying. Others became doubtful and said, unless we ourselves send a delegation to examine it, we won't believe it. But read from 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 13, 12 and 13. You can see we're ending. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving. So they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, meaning the Israelites. Then we will take them alive and get into the city. Look at the sort of thought is in his mind. These people are showing him the wonderful thing that they were. And he's saying this again. One of his officers answered, make some men take five of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened. See, some people don't want to go anywhere, but only protect their kingdom and their kingship. If you hang around them all their words, you stay where you are. Some are only interested in their positions and what they will do for you. But what about what God will do for you? Will you stay where you are or die? Others may be skeptical and want to delay your experience of the Spirit and God's power in your life. Please reject this and move away from them and believe God's word. The officers were effectively saying, we are doomed. We want to send you to your damnation speedily. So you take five horses, the one that we will kill and eat. Take them and go. Because we are doomed, so we know you're going to be doomed. Anyway, they don't expect anything from you. And some of you, even your teachers, don't expect anything from you. But that is not your story. That is not your destiny. That's not what God has said. For some of you, somebody's looking at you and thinking, you got a big post, you got a big money, you got a big position. I wish you fail. That is not your destiny. That should not be your story. Somebody's looking at him thinking, God, you've got such a wonderful home, amazing, beautiful wife, maybe a wonderful husband earning big money, and they want you to fail. That is not your destiny. That is not your story. The faith of the four lepers saved them. Let us continue our scripture to the end of the passage today, verse 14 to 16. So the king of Israel and his officers selected two chariots with their horses. And the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, go, find out what has happened. They followed them as far as Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment of the Arameans, or that the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seer of the finest flour sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord has said. Amen. Amen. Remember, it said, as the Lord has said. But who said that? Was Elisha, wasn't it? So the words of Elisha became the words of God. Are you with me? So the word that you speak will be creative and become God's word, because God will back you up with his words. And with his power. Why may we stay here and die? The four lepers believed and took action, and God came through for them. It is better to listen to scripture, which is God's word, and the word of the spokesperson, that the prophet. Is it possible? Or is it possible? Is it better to listen to scripture and the prophet? Or will you listen to the other voices in your ears, which will not benefit you? You be the judge. Peter, the apostle, said this when he was being threatened not to speak the word of God again in Acts chapter 4. He said to the big 72 council of powerful, rich, wealthy, spiritual, educated, influential, godly people. He just spoke to them. Is it better to listen to you or to listen to the scriptures? You be the judge. So today, ask yourself. And for a final bit to finish, I will address you, the children. There are far too many voices and information going on which the world is putting out to stop you from believing. There's far too many. Far too many telling you that don't believe anymore. It's confusing you to create doubts in your minds and ultimately hold you back from achieving your destinies. These voices and information comes from your social media, your friends, news media, television, the internet. And sometimes may even come from your parents and relatives, especially when they feel challenged or they panic about life. Will you believe that? Judge for yourself and speak prophetic language over your life and speak prophecy as God gives you ability. And for you adults, I will say this. What will you do with the message you have heard today? Will you stay where you are and die? Or you will obey scripture and embrace the power of God and take action? This may mean you confronting some issues in your life, some mindsets and some language that you are speaking. But speak boldly, yet wisely, to someone. This may mean that doing something to move you from where you are to there. But more so, you want to get away from all negative sentiments and trust God. Others will want you to stay exactly where you are. But more so, I'll prefer to hear that most of you want to up your spiritual temperature in these times. Will you stay where you are and die? Or will you take action, believe God's word, and let him back you with scripture? Remember, the prophet said, a seer of barley will sell for a shekel. And truly, it did. God's word never fails. The four lepers have shown us an example. We have to be strangers to failure. God bless you.